Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for your invitation. I do hope there'll be a nice big pan of mushy peas to go with the fish and chips, because as a good northern lad, you can't have fish and chips without mushy peas. So, probably like most people when they're invited to speak, a few weeks ago your mind starts to get into gear and you think, what shall I speak about? And a few ideas were floating in my mind, but then I felt God laid just a simple phrase which I should bring to you this morning, and that phrase was the pursuit of God. Now, there's a very famous book with that title by a Mr. Tozer, and it would have been very easy just to get hold of the book and get some notes and ideas from that. But I felt that would be the wrong thing to do on this occasion, and to bring my own thoughts and reflections on that subject. So really you could hang this talk on one verse from Jeremiah 30, verse 21, which says very simply, who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? Who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? And I guess for me and for many of us, sometimes we feel that you want to press into God. We want to be closer to him. We want to know his presence and his voice. And yet sometimes when we set out on that course, things rather get in the way. So just look at this little video for a couple of minutes, and we'll get an idea of what can happen when we set off on that course.
Let's bow our hearts for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the oh God, because joy has come into the world. Thank you, Lord, for the joy that the Savior brought.
Blowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes.
It is okay to laugh in church, but if you want to see more of what, yeah, if you want to see more of that, just type in church fails to YouTube and you'll see a bit more. But you know, sometimes we set out with good intentions to press into God, and yet so often things get in the way, so we get distracted, things happen that just don't allow us to move in that direction. And the Lord says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So the idea of this morning is just to give you some sort of ideas, nothing sort of you won't already know him anyways, but just if you want to pursue God and know God more, these are some of the things that we can do to help us on that journey. So the first one I've got down here is prayer. And prayer is so important in our spiritual lives. There's nothing like a consistent prayer life that will move our faith from religion to a true relationship with Jesus. It energizes the heart of the believer through the power of the Holy Spirit. Consistent prayer also releases the power of God's blessing onto our lives and circumstances. When I was working up in a little place called Darwin, near Blackburn in Lancashire for many years, I was in quite a, you probably know that many of you, that I was a dental surgeon, had a dental practice there. A very sort of pressurized job, always working against the clock, lots of problems to deal with. And Darwin is a very sort of northern town, rows of terraced houses. But somehow I felt led to go there. And just a few yards away from where I worked was a beautiful area of woodland. It's called Sunnyhurst Woods. And every lunchtime I used to escape from the practice and just go in there and pray and find peace. And it sort of got me through the day, really. It's so important to find that place where I could pray and get away with all the activities that I was involved with. I may have mentioned this last time I came, but David and I and Clive share in this the work of the Good News for Everyone. And we try and go into most of the local schools. And yet there was one local school over in Bishop's Cleeve that every attempt to gain a possibility of sharing with the students and giving testaments failed. They didn't respond to anything. I went to visit, nothing came about to allow us to go there. And so I made it a matter of urgent prayer for several months. And when I walked the dog every morning, you can see Bishop's Cleeve in the distance, and I used to look over there and pray, Lord, can you open this door for to allow the students to share in the good news? And to cut a long story short, I met a guy who knew one of the teachers there. He put me in touch with them. I went to see him, and the teacher said, well, we can't give you an assembly, but if you bring me the scriptures, I'll distribute them in the class. He was head of ethics, great guy. And God opened that door. And I'm convinced that only came about because we persisted in prayer. So it's such an important aspect of our seeking God, is to spend time before him in prayer. There's so much more I could say on prayer, but that's for another day perhaps. So let's move on to the next one I made a note of, and that is fasting. Now, fasting doesn't always grab us with great enthusiasm, particularly if it involves going without food. Most of us like our set meal times, and to give that up is quite an effort, really. But a lot of churches at the start of this year set aside 3 weeks when the congregations of the people, the members of the churches, were asked to, for those 3 weeks, really make it a time of urgent fasting to seek God. And it was left to the individuals what they did, whether they missed a meal, whether they cut out chocolate, or, you know, whatever they decided. And obviously, there are health concerns involved in fasting, so you've got to be careful. You've got to, if you're that way inclined, check that's okay with the doctor. But it was interesting. After those 3 weeks, we all got together as a church and shared our testimony of that experience. And it was quite amazing how all around the room, because people had fasted, things happened. God broke through in many, many ways. And it certainly had quite an impact on the life of the church. And we can do that as individuals, we can do that as a church. But My own experience was that we have some friends over in Canada, and when they moved over there, they bought this amazing house out near Banff, if you know Banff in the Rockies, a beautiful area, mountains all around. And they had what we think of as an upside down house. Basically, the bedrooms were downstairs, and the sitting room and kitchen were upstairs. And when we got there at first, we went into the house, and it wasn't very interesting. There was no views from the downstairs. But when we went upstairs, the view of the mountains was all around us. And I think that's, in some ways, what fasting does. It takes us to a slightly different spiritual level where God can speak to us and where we develop that sort of spiritual appetite to press into God. So certainly something to think about, and it's been in the news a lot. Rishi Sunak, I believe, fasts for 36 hours every week, I think we heard. But it's something that can benefit us, I believe. And Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast. Jesus said, when you fast, do this. So something to think about if we want to really press in to God. The third one, then, there are seven, so you can see sort of how this sermon progresses by the number I get to. So I've got seven ideas, but the third one is what I call living under the fear of the Lord. Have I done something? Can you hear me? Yeah. The word of God says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it's not a frightened fear in that sense, but it's just living with that reverence, that awe and that wonder of God. And it leads us to a place where we want to do those things that really please him. If we're living under the fear of the Lord, we want to please God. And it can affect every area of our lives. I'm well known for liking a bargain and not turning down a freebie. And I got an offer to watch or to have Apple Plus TV on the phone for 6 months. I'll have a freebie for that for 6 months. And watch one or two things in it. And the sort of thing I was attracted to was something called, a series called Slow Horses, which was basically about washed up government agents. And I watched several episodes, but do you know the language was appalling? And after two or three episodes, I felt God challenged me, should I be watching something with all this bad language? And in the end, I just turned it off and turned away from it. And that's the sort of impact that living under the fear of God can have. We want to please him. A few years ago, our house group leader stepped down, and all of us in the remainder of the group were asked to consider taking on the leadership role. Now, my first reaction was, I don't want the responsibility of doing that. I didn't even ask God about it, I just said no. But nobody came forward, so I thought, well, maybe we should seek God, Jill and I, as to whether we should do it. And God said yes. So it wasn't something I wanted to do, but if we want to please God, we've got to not always do our own thing and go our own way, but we've got to seek God and try and do what he wants us to do that. So we ended up leading the group for 5 years. And so living under the fear of the Lord takes us to the place where we want to please him in our lives. The fourth one is quite an obvious one you'd want me to share as good news for everyone. And that is the importance of Scripture in our day-to-day lives. And certainly in my experience, the Scriptures are one of the main ways that God can speak to us. And it's amazing, if we get into the regular habit of reading scripture every day, and for me it's the first thing I do in the morning, how often there'll be a verse or a little word that sort of jumps out to us which is really relevant to the place we're at that time. And we can read scripture in lots of different ways. Sometimes I've got the Bible in a year, which gives a New Testament reading, an Old Testament and a Psalm every day. We can just read it cover to cover. We can use daily notes, which can help us. But it's a really good habit to have, to read scripture every day and to allow God to speak to us through that. David and I, last year at our regional conference, met a lady called Sharon Pryor. And she was the director of something called PACE, which stands for PACE, Program of Applied Christian Education. And she wasn't a Christian, but she received one of our little pocket testaments at school many years ago. And she didn't look at it, she didn't read it, and it ended up in the attic in a box. But when she was late teens, early 20s, she found this box in the attic, and she found the Bible, and you know, she started to read it. And again, to cut a long story short, she became a Christian, attended church, and then God called her to this amazing work that she does, which is actually going into schools and kind of evangelizing. We're not allowed to evangelize when we go into schools. We can talk about the work, we can talk about lots of different things, but we can't preach the gospel. But this lady, in a capacity and a role she has, is able to really share Jesus practically with the students. And it all started because she started to read her scripture. So amazing things God can do. I will just tell you one quick other story, which is when I was a teenager, I had a dream. And I was floating in space. And as I floated in space, a spacecraft came alongside me. And on the side of the spacecraft was a text. And when I woke up, I remembered the dream, and I thought, I remember the text. And I looked it up. It wasn't it was from the Old Testament, not a verse I recognized. And yet, when I'd read the verse, God spoke to me so clearly for that particular thing I was having trouble with at that time. So again, scripture, so important if we're to press in and pursue God. The fifth one I've got is fellowship and community. And the importance of not neglecting to meet together. You can be a Christian on your own, sort of doing it by yourself. But it's so important to gather together, as we're doing this morning, to meet with others and to be encouraged by other people. I don't know if you've ever experienced in this world real wilderness. Again, going back to Canada, the first time I went, I decided to... The people I was staying with had a bike, and I love cycling, so I decided to cycle into the next town, which was Banff, about 20 kilometres away, and I rode into the town. But I'd heard there was another way back home later in the day, right over the mountains. And I thought, oh, that should be exciting. So I set off along this river trail. I cycled for about an hour, not meeting a soul anywhere along the way. And the light began to fade a little bit, and I was a little bit fearful, really. I wasn't equipped, and this track took me over the mountains. And I felt very much alone and quite worried and disturbed. But eventually, when I got to the top of the mountain, I met a couple of guys going out. I think they were going out hunting. And I said, am I on the right track? And they said, yes. And that was my first experience of really being on my own out in the wilderness. Not what we'd recommend as Christians. We need to gather together. We need to meet together. And house groups and other church activities help us to share together, pray together, encourage each other, equip and build our faith. So don't neglect that. So important. The sixth one I've put down is the vital work of the Holy Spirit. He is our comforter, our helper, our advocate. And I will just read one quick scripture from Ephesians, which just gives us an idea of how important the Holy Spirit is. Ephesians 1 verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. We have access to that great power through his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can do, wants to play such a vital role in each one of our lives, in each one of our hearts. And we need to regularly invite the Holy Spirit to fill us and to enable us to do his work. A missionary over in, well, he was, he'd been working out in Africa, but he was from America, and he came back on furlough, and he started to share with his home church on one occasion, and he told them about one of his roles out in Africa was to leave his village, go into the town, and get the money from the bank to pay, take back to the village to pay the hospital staff. And while he was there on one occasion, there was a fight in this town, and he went to the aid of the injured party, helped him, bound his wounds, and told him about Jesus. And then he set off to the bank and got the money and took it back to his village. The following month, when he went back to the town again, this injured man that he'd helped was waiting for him. And he said to him, that last month when you came, me and my gang were going to follow you into the countryside, into the bush, and rob you of that money. But he said, when we approach you, he said, all of us, all the gang, saw that you got 26 26 guards protecting you. So we immediately backed off. Well, he laughed. He said, no, I was on my own. But that's what these robbers had seen. Now, when he was sharing this in his home congregation, one of the guys jumped up. He said, pastor or missionary, what day was that? Did that happen? So he said, well, let me think. It was, and he gave him the date. So this guy said, that morning when this happened, when this event happened, he said, I was about to play golf. And suddenly I had an overwhelming sense of that by the Holy Spirit that you were in trouble and we needed to pray for you. And he said, I didn't just come to the church and pray for you on my own. I called all my friends and we all gathered in the church to pray for you because we felt God was saying that you were under threat. And he asked those who'd come to pray to stand up in the church. And when they counted them, there were 26 people who'd gathered to pray, and that saved the man's life. So it's so important that we listen to the Holy Spirit and invite him to help us to seek God. I was quite regularly travel on the bus from Cheltenham to Tewkesbury. I go into the town with my wife, but she likes to spend a bit more time shopping than I do very often. So I leave her with the car and get the bus back. And there was one occasion I was travelling on the bus back to Tewkesbury, and there was a guy sitting opposite, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, you need to speak to this guy. Well, when that happens, you sort of think, no, I feel a bit uncomfortable. He's a total stranger. What's he going to think? What's he going to say? Anyway, an opportunity came, and I just thought, go for it. So he was just sat opposite me, so I started to talk to him. And, you know, whole way back, we had an amazing conversation. We talked about Jesus, and I think I encouraged him in that way. So when we feel that prompt of the Holy Spirit, let's, even if it takes some courage, let's not miss that opportunity to share good news with somebody else. Finally, final one, I guess, I wonder if you're thinking, I know what he's going to say. Well, I don't think you will, because the final one I've put down, if we want to pursue God, is to rest. And, you know, life can be so busy. Even when you're retired, life can become so full. And these days, very often at the end of the day, we judge the success of the day in how much we've achieved. And if I've not done much in a day that I think has been worthwhile, I think, I've perhaps wasted a day. But in a world that glorifies busyness and normalizes never-ending productivity, God invites us to get off the treadmill of activity and to simply rest. It revives our minds, our bodies, and our spirit. So don't feel it's something that, I'm not actually physically in doing something. To rest and to take time out and to meditate and to pray is so important if we're going to be able to pursue God in the way that he wants us to. I close my little talk. Is that clock right? 7:30? No. Well, at least the minute hand's right, isn't it? I close this little talk by telling you a story. Now, this will be very interesting to two people here, David and Jean, because it involves a little place up in the Lake District called Grange over Sands, which they like to go to quite regularly. And when I was in Lancashire, growing up in Lancashire, our church used to organise days out. And we often used to go to Grange over Sands. And when I was about 12, 13, we were up there on a nice sunny day. And if you know the area, Morecambe Bay, the tide goes miles out. And you've got all this lovely sand in front of you. The only problem is there's quicksand, and it's a very dangerous place. But at 12-year-old, you don't think about that. And I decided to set off with my friend, who was younger than me, and to actually cross the sands to Arnside. Now, it didn't look that far on that nice sunny day, but as we began to trudge over the sands, we didn't seem to be getting any closer to the other side. And the danger is that the tide comes in very quickly and you can easily get caught out. Anyway, we got through and we made it to the other side, but we thought we better not hang about, we better head back. So as we turned, we started to walk back quite quickly. One of us got into some soft sand that started to sink, and I had to pull him out. We could have both lost our lives, really, looking back. But the thing is that in Grange, when the tide turns, they sound a hooter. I don't know if they still do, but this hooter sounds saying, get off the sands, the tide's coming. So we realised the hooter started sounding. We were a long way off to go, so we started to run. And, you know, we just got back in time before the tide came in. And it was a very dangerous thing to have done, and it involved lots of worry and anxiety. Now, a few years later, we were up there, and there was a guy called Cedric Robinson, who was, for many, many years, from 1963 to 2019, the Queen's Guide to the Sands. And you could organise to go out with him, and he'd take you safely across the sands. And he used to go out first thing in the morning and mark out where some of the quicksand was. And then he'd take you out, and you'd enjoy the experience with him in safety. And you know, life is a little bit like that. We can do our own thing, we can go our own way, but often that life will end up full of anxiety and worry and fear. And yet, we can choose instead to give our lives to Jesus, to have him as our Lord and Saviour, and to live life in that fear and knowledge and relationship with him. And we can go out onto the dangers of life that we face sometimes and know that he will be with us. He'll watch over us, he'll take care of us, and he will guide us. And eventually, we'll not only reach the destination that he has planned for us, heaven, but we'll also enjoy the journey. Amen. Amen. So,